It's 8:11, and Paul Von Gertz is with me on the phone. Paul is a regular to the radio in that he always puts out that wonderful Knife River newsletter. But this is not about the Knife River newsletter. This is about a scam. So thank you, Paul, for being with us to talk about the scam this morning.
Yes, the more people I can learn about this, the better. I mean, that's something that good that will come of this is to for folks to be aware.
Yes, absolutely. So I think you should just first tell us what happened.
Well, it was 7:45. I think it was either, must have been last week, maybe a week ago. 7:45 in the morning, the phone rings, and I could tell it was Mary mentioned their friend's name and greeted her, and I could tell that Mary was upset, or that her friend was upset because of the seriousness of Mary's voice. So she asked me to, and I said, I was concerned, and so she put me on speaker. So I overheard this, but it was our friend who was calling and said that, by the way, her voice was artificially generated. It sounded exactly like her. We've been a friend for 40 years. We know her voice. But anyway, she said that she had gone to the pharmacy to get some meds, and she was on her phone, and she dropped her phone, and she bent over to pick it up and collided with a car, and that the person in the car included a pregnant woman who was apparently having some difficulties or frightened. I can't recall what, but
yeah.
Anyway, ambulance was called, and the police were called, and so that was the nature of the accident. But anyway, she said that she had a friend named Mike, who was an attorney, who she had called in case there was a suit involved as a result of this accident, and that this friend Mike would call in about 10 minutes to explain again what took place and ask for our help in helping our friend. And so, this was, a fair amount of detail, and I remember thinking, well, I wonder if she's going to the Two Harbors or Duluth. I said this happened last night. Well, I thought the pharmacies in Two Harbors closed at 5 or 6, so she must have been on her way to Duluth. I didn't clarify that, but everything sounded, likable. Not likable, but little,
yeah.
Likely. So anyway, Mary hung up and said that we'd take Mike's call, and we would call her back to let her know what was going on. So 10 minutes later, this fellow claimed to be an attorney, and Mike called, and pretty high pressure, but saying that she would be expected to appear in court next Tuesday, the following Tuesday, and that there would be a bond required of $10,000. And so at this point, the guy's getting a little suspicious. I think Mary wasn't quite caught on to this yet. And so I told Mary, I said, and I'm on speaker, this mic's on speakerphone, so I'm hearing the conversation. And I kept shaking my head and said, no money, no money. So Mary said, well, we don't have $10,000, or can't get $10,000 by next Tuesday. And then we were, quote, disconnected. Well, I think he hung up. So we then called our friend and said, what's going on here? We're sorry you're in this situation. We can't help financially. And, of course, she knew nothing about it.
Wow.
And so, it was kind of confusing day. Way to start the day anyway. And so, that was pretty much the end of it. And then we all three of us determined this was a scam. But what's scary about it, a couple things, is one, they knew our friend's name. They knew we were friends with her, and they were able to duplicate her voice.
Yeah.
So they must have intercepted a phone call at one time, just, a casual phone call between friends. It's pretty sophisticated, pretty convincing.
Yeah.
So, happy to share this with others, and anytime somebody calls and mentions a friend or family member in need and send money or what have you, hang up.
Yeah. It seems like we've heard this kind of story before, but never with the actual voice of the person
right.
that you know and love. That just seems to be the new level. And that there was nothing throughout that call that may otherwise, other than the sort of unique and unusual nature of suddenly needing money. Like, there's nothing else in that call that would have roused your suspicions. There's no way that the voice did not sound authentic. Is that right?
The voice was very authentic. Even even a voice of desperation.
Wow.
Yeah, and the fact that somehow somebody knew of our relationship with our friend.
Right.
So our friend was not the target. My wife was the target.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that both scares us and angers us, you know, that someone would attempt to scam us. So.
Right. Well, you do have to wonder how these people sleep at night, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of felt like saying, does your mother know what you do for a living?
Tell us what you did and to help. I mean, I think how you responded legally was a good thing, and everyone should know about that, too. So what did you do about it?
Well, we talked to Lake County Sheriff's Department and reported the incident. And they took the message and then called back not too much later to say that two other folks in the Lake County had been victims of the same attempted scam.
And
so that's what I decided to send notice to my mailing list of our Knife River newsletter so everybody would be alerted. You know, it's interesting. They sent this on. My newsletter goes out to about 300 people, and about a dozen people responded, maybe more, maybe 15 people responded and thanked me profusely for giving them a heads up on the scam. So that was encouraging. So I felt I did a good deed, and same with being on the air with you right now, let folks know about this sort of thing and the degree of sophistication there is.
Right. It does seem like we just have to stay one step ahead of the scamming, you know, if everyone is aware that this kind of thing happens. And did the sheriff's department indicate any knowledge about, like, was this a local thing? Could it have been done anywhere in the world? Are they able to track it down?
Well, not that I know. I assume they're doing an investigation. I can find out. But the Duluth paper had a story, I think, yesterday about two people in the range that were scammed. Three people. Total of $50,000. They caught the perp. The person said to deliver the money to a certain location. You can read the story yourself. And the police were waiting for this person who came to pick up the money. Anyway, the three elderly people that were scammed for a total of $50,000 did get their money back, I think.
Did they get it back, or it was never given because they caught?
Well, I'm sorry, it's never given.
Yeah. I almost wonder if that's going to be a new system, is go along with it until there's a physical meetup and then arrest somebody.
Yeah. Well, again, anybody can read this in the paper, but I think one person was from, they're both from out of the area. One was from Ohio and somebody from Chicago, someone, I can't recall what it was.
Interesting, but not necessarily local.
Yeah, but
they
sent a person up here to collect the money.
Wow. Well, I'm speaking with Paul Von Gertz. He is a local Knife River resident and historian, I would add, and also he and his wife, potential victims of a new level of AI scamming that they managed to avoid. So good for you, Paul, for getting out of it. And thanks again for sharing the story with us. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm glad I had the opportunity to talk on the station, and hopefully we're all wiser.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks again.
Okay.
And we look forward to hearing from the Knife River News.
Yep. Be back next month.
All right. Okay. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Paul Von Gertz with us. And that interview will be rebroadcast tomorrow between 9 and 11 a.m. and also archived on our website.